It's the heartbeat of God beating in his chest like John did. Put your head on the breast of Jesus and listen, listen to his heartbeat. He wants you to know, he wants you to know his heart. His heart, his heart. And he said, if you listen long enough, if you listen hard enough, his heart will become yours. His heart will become yours. You'll become one in the heart, one with the heart of God.
Close, like John was to Jesus. That close God wants you to him. So close that you lay your head on his chest, that you hear his heartbeat. And if you listen long enough, if you stay in that place and listen hard enough, that heart of his will become your heart. His desires will become your desires. His compassion will become your compassion. Your understanding becomes like one with his. Your desires come more and more. Years ago, God showed me a picture. It was two hearts. Two hearts. One was God, one was ours. But they didn't beat the same. They were beating like this. But as I watched, they grew closer and closer. Closer and closer. And finally, it seemed as though they merged. And they were beating together. One heart. You could see they were two, yet they were one. Beating together. One with God. One with his heart. He is the one and only. He'll only ever be the one and only, yet he will allow us to be a part of his love for the lost, his love for people, his desire to fill the earth. Come to heaven. Come to heaven. Come sit in heavenly places. He said that you're to be seated in heavenly places. Come to heaven. Sit in the places of a king. See things from where he does. Catch his view. Behold the perspective of the king. How does God see it? I assure you, it's not the way humans do. Problems that seem really big look completely different from the throne. God sees something that to us might be a big problem, and he sees a little thing that might just need a slight adjustment. Come to heaven. Come to the king. It's open for all. He would have every one of us be like John. He would have every one of us come to that place. It's not about our great knowledge. It's about our intimate knowledge with him. It's not about what our head knows. It's about our relationship with him. He'll give you the intellectual understanding of it. He will. But come to the throne. Come to the heartbeat of God. And in that place, he will also give you revelation knowledge. But many times your heart will get it first by the Spirit. God is revealing something to a heart right now. Someone in here, you've had questions in your heart for about 20 years. You've had questions, questions, questions. And you've always wondered why God doesn't answer that question. But I believe God is opening the door of your heart to see things in a new way. And when you see things from his perspective, you'll have answers and more. You'll have answers to those questions and more. You'll have wisdom. Wisdom. The wisdom of God breathed into your heart. God longs to breathe His wisdom into your heart, into your soul. Once you catch the breath and the fire of God, you don't think the same. You don't work the same, walk the same. Nothing's the same because He has breathed something of Himself into you. He has released something into you. It's the Spirit of the living God. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is life. This is life. Being filled with the Spirit is life. A person without the Spirit of God, they don't have much to offer humanity. But a person that's filled with the Spirit and the glory of God has something to offer that came from the throne of heaven. They have something to offer that came from the Father. Receive tonight. Receive the maximum that you can receive, and then ask for more. Ask Him, "God, I want more. Lord, I want more. Lord, we pull on You. We want more. We're asking You for more. Fill us with Your breath. Fill us with Your fire. Release unto us that thing that You have that we need. Release it to us. We pull on it, God. Put Your hands in the air and ask Him. Pull on Him. Pull on God. Listen, you get what you ask for. You get what you seek God for. You get what you seek the Lord for. Gyore borende di shokiti satore me. Ento robo shata raga site ke je shomale. Ide ranoso tore beke. Tore baja shata taso. More yet, more yet, more yet, more. Someone here, you're leaving something behind. I saw God take an axe and cut and chop. It was like He chopped off a root from the past. There was a root from your past, and God took an axe and cut it, chopped it. And it needed to go, too. That thing has been dragging you down. Someone here, you've been praying fervently for your family, but you've done it in a fretful way. You've fretted and fretted and fretted and fretted. You've prayed, but you've fretted and you've fretted. God says, no more. Believe Me. When you pray, don't fret. Because that says you don't believe that I'm going to do it. Put it on the altar. Ask Me and then say, "Thank You, God. I believe You. I believe You. I don't care what it looks like in the natural. I believe You. You're going to touch my family. You're going to do whatever it takes to cause them to see." We're seeing people get saved. I'm hearing more and more just salvations. It's like they're rolling into the kingdom. People are coming in faster than ever before. The time is short. Let God put something on you to share. Let Him give you the words. Kure bareto sombre diaro. I see someone's spine right now. God's touching someone's spine. Your spine and the small of your back has been giving you problems. I saw a fire hit it. Shoulder. Someone has a shoulder issue. God is touching their shoulder. There's someone in here that has such wrong thinking. You've had such wrong thinking. It has caused you to be almost like a knotted up in a ball. Like a almost tormenting, like in a tizzy, your thoughts run rampant. Like you get stuck in a thought process and it's destructive. And God says, no more, no more. He is going to touch your mind tonight. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over every form of torment. We release you from that and we command that to be cleansed out. Father, give straight thinking. Renew the mind with Your precious word. Bring scriptures forward like truth in the night, like lights in the night, that they cannot think wrong, but they will choose to think truth. Release the truth to them over and over until they really grasp a hold of it. And they say, that's mine, that truth is mine. And I'm not going to think this wrong way anymore. You know, God is in the business of healing minds. Did you know that? There's people in the body of Christ who struggle with thinking. There's someone, and you've actually struggled with something that the Lord is calling fragmented thinking. It's like you're struggling with your thinking patterns. You can't focus for very long. You have attention, like an attention disorder, and it has caused you problems. I see the Lord right now. I saw His hand gently come down over your mind. He's healing your mind. You know, we need our minds whole. Whole. We speak wholeness. Wholeness to your heart. Thank you, Lord. We speak wholeness to the heart. I see a broken heart being made whole. I also see heart problems being made whole. Like a valve. Looks like a valve. Looks like I'm seeing a valve being made whole. Almost like a valve replacement. Knees. Somebody with knees. God is touching your knees. We release healing into that right now, Lord. Thank you. If you're wondering, is that for me? Yes, it's for you. Any public word you can take, and it's yours. Any public word that God gives means healing is present. Yeah. Healing is here. Take it. It's yours. Insist on it. That's mine. I'm taking that. We've seen people healed. They walked out of the meeting wondering if that was theirs. And then making a decision to receive it even a day later and getting their healing. Because they made a decision to receive what God gave. God already gave it. He already gave it. It's already ours, but we have to take it. Decide that it's yours. One day I was driving in the car and I'd been struggling with an off and on chronic problem for about 7 years. It would come and go and come and go, and my faith level wasn't very high, and I was frustrated with it. And I said, God, what do I have to do to receive my healing? And I don't know what I expected Him to say, but it wasn't this. This was the question. What do I have to do to receive my healing? He said, insist on it. Insist on it. Because He'd already released it. The problem wasn't Him. The problem was that my faith level was low. And I said to the Lord, I said, you know, I've been struggling with this a long time. So I said, I admit that at that point, my faith wasn't supersonic, but I said, I'll tell you what I will believe you for. I believe you that I will get better and better and better and better, and that this thing will be gone. And that's exactly what I was able to receive, because that's where my faith was at. I got better and better and better, and I have not had any problems with that in a number of years now. That thing is gone and healed. But I had to insist on it. Sometimes if you want God's word to come true for you, you've got to decide, choose, make a decision. Say, that's mine. I'm taking that as mine. I'm standing on that as mine. And I'm not budging from that. And if the enemy or your flesh or your body or a person says something else, you say, no, I made a decision. This word is true. This scripture is true. That's my decision. Therefore, you have established it in the earth. When you choose to take a scripture or a word of God and say, that's mine, I'm taking that, you are establishing it as a fact by your faith. Scriptures need to be established by faith. God can say you're healed, but if you won't believe it, it's going to be hard for you to receive it. That's why it's really paramount that you say, I'm taking that as mine. I don't care what anybody says. That's mine. And it won't be long before you'll see it manifest, because somebody has to establish it. I see it's like this. God gives it, but someone has to take a hold of it in the earth. God has already given through Jesus Christ. That's why it says, by His stripes you were healed. That's why it says it past tense. You were healed. Well, if we were healed, why do we sometimes see sickness? Because somebody has to grab a hold of it and establish it on the earth. He's released it, but we got to take a hold of it. Start to take the promises of God. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a wimp, you will not get the promises. That's the truth. If you're feeling sorry for yourself, you won't get it. I know, because I felt sorry for myself for too many years. Didn't get a thing. Thought God should just do it because He loved me. No, doesn't work that way. Thought He should do it for me because I was hurting and He's sympathetic and loves me. No. No, He said, I got a system. My ways are higher than your ways. I'm not going to do it your way. This is the way I do it. Whether people like it or don't like it, this is my plan. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, Holly, if you want me to do this thing, you have to choose to believe me. And I repented. I repented because I was having a pity party and feeling sorry for myself, poor me, because things were bad. And I repented and said, you know what? I was doing that because I didn't really believe. I was looking for you to do it first, then I'll believe. You do it, then I'll believe you did it. No, no. He said, no, you believe me, and you'll release it because I've already done it. And when I made a choice to begin to choose to believe God and take Him at His word, my entire life turned around. Not in a moment, because it took me a while to figure this out. But I saw things begin to turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around, as I began to learn how to operate in His kingdom with His system that He put in place. I began to see success in God and victory in areas where before all I saw was failure. God is looking for somebody with enough nerve to choose to believe, whether it's for souls. Do you know why Reinhard Bonnke is able to take nations? Because that's what he believes for. He had enough nerve to believe for entire continents. I never understood that faith could work for souls. I actually didn't believe that. But I think it's fair to say there's a guy that knows what he's talking about. Millions of souls. Because he had the courage to believe God for nations. The Bible says, ask of me, I'll give you the nations. The nations are your inheritance. Did you know that? We can ask for and claim and believe for souls, and God will bring them in.
100%.
You get what you believe for. If it's in the Word and it's a promise, you can have it, but you've got to go after it.
Amen.
God told me that believing, it's not this passive idea of, oh yeah, I believe that. No, that's not believing. He said believing is like a guy running a race, going after it. Believe, it's a verb of action. It's an action verb. Believe. Go after the thing. Go after it. Speak it. Believe it's already been done. Act like it's done. Talk like it's done. That's believe. Not, oh yeah, I believe that. Believe is an action verb. I know this is, there's people in here, you've never heard something like this before. And a lot of people, and I'm just going to say, I think sometimes, especially women, tend to go along with their emotions, how things look and how they don't look. You know, their emotions or relations or whatever. Whatever circumstances go up and down, and therefore their walk in God goes up and down. Their emotions go up and down. Their life goes up and down. How you doing? Okay. How you doing? Okay. How you doing? Okay. Based on how things are. And one day I looked at that and said, I don't like that program. That's not a godly walk. I don't want to be that way. I don't like being that way. And I knew somebody that walked like this, just straight across. And I knew they had trials, big ones. Yet they were the same every day. And I said, I'm doing something wrong. And I went to God and I said, this isn't working. You've got to change me. I don't care if you have to recreate my mind. You've got to help me understand how to walk in victory every day. How would it have been if Jesus was up and down with every circumstance? How would that have been? Oh, they're going to kill me. I'm having a bad day. Oh, the Pharisees don't like me. They said bad things. I mean, think of it. He had a lot of stuff he had to contend with. And people that hated him. He had a mother and father that everybody in town knew they weren't really married when he was conceived. I mean, I'm sure he took a lot. How would it be if he was moved this way and that way all the time by circumstances of life? But the Bible says we shall not be moved. We're not to be moved. And there is a way in God to walk where you're not moved by whatever
Amen.
Blows up in your face. There's a way in God to live in victory so that you're not moved by the ups and the downs and so-and-so likes me, so-and-so doesn't. The relationship is good, the relationship is bad. I heard from God, I didn't hear from God. There's a way to walk where you are not moved. Doesn't mean you don't care. It just means you ain't moved. People will struggle with it because you'll seem like you don't care. That's the truth. Wow, you don't care about anything. Well, you know what? It took me some years to learn how to do this. But it was worth doing. Because I'm going to tell you something. We don't know where things are going. Will they come after us? Clap us in irons? Throw us in jail? We can say everything's going to be okay. But honestly, really, don't you think the day might come where we might know some of the persecution our brothers overseas have known? If we can't hack it because Joe Blow doesn't like us, how will we make it when they're beating us? If we can't hack it because somebody said something bad about the way we believe or whatever, or you have a relational problem with somebody and you fall all apart, you can't do that. How are you going to do it when you're thrown in jail? Not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying it very well could, and we need to belly up to the bar.
Amen.
Our Christianity has been too insipid, too weak. We falter so easily. God is calling us to a victorious walk.
Amen.
A walk of strength and power and might.
You bet.
And we need to leave some of that stuff behind. Somebody doesn't like us, so what? Yay, God! Hallelujah! They just don't know what they're missing. Because you know what? The closer you move into the things of God and the Holy Ghost, the more people will not like you. And some of them will be very loud. Vocal. I was thrilled a couple of weeks ago because we finally got, you remember I said we haven't made the big time because we don't have any mean web pages out against us. A couple of weeks ago, somebody wrote a mean web page about us. Oh. Woo-hoo! Yee! Because now we know. This is a good thing. 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I'd have been crying. Boo-hoo. Oh, they don't like us. Boo-hoo. You know what? Too bad.
Amen.
They did it about Jesus. He said, if they do it to the master, they will do it to the servant. Fact.
Yeah.
One lady called me, ready to leave her church because she was ready to leave her church because some lady said something mean to her and she was hurt, going to leave the church. I said, wait a minute. Let me make sure I understand this. I'm not trying to put you down. And it's not that I don't have compassion for you. I know your feelings are hurt. But if that's all the devil has to do to get you to leave a church, then you'll never stay in a church.
Amen.
If that's all it takes is for your feeling to be hurt, did God tell you to be there? If he didn't, well, then it don't matter. But if he told you to be planted there, you can't leave just because somebody doesn't like you. And if Satan finds out that's all he's got to do to buffalo you, he can do anything. He's got you wrapped around his finger and you don't even know it. Woo-hoo! People hated Jesus, looking to kill him, but were afraid of the people, so they'd go meet in secret. How can we do it? Because they knew that the people, you know, they knew they were in trouble. They'd sneak around and try to find ways to do him in. Never moved. He was never moved. Remember in his last days, when he was really on trial, he said, well, didn't I come and teach these things right here, preach them right here? He was not afraid. I came right here in the midst of y'all and I preached this. He didn't say anything then. He didn't kill me then. Of course, I tried to and he passed through the midst of them. That's the walk for us. Do you understand that in the last day, we need to be in a place where we can walk out of the midst of them?
Amen.
You better get used to the supernatural. You better get used to working in miracles. You better get used to doing miracles. You better get used to it. You better get used to people getting healed.
Amen.
You better get used to speaking the word of the Lord and people are healed.
Amen.
You better get used to miracles. You better get used to being normal.
Amen.
Because in the last time, when they're trying to come after you, won't it be nice when you just... And Philip was found at Azotus. You know, they were all scattered. But it was God. The persecution scattered them. And they went all over preaching everywhere.
Amen. Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people in here that are friends. Had some good old prayer meetings together. But you know what? If things get hot, we may find one of us in Alaska, one of us in, you know, Baja, one of us in Arkansas, one of us in Liberia.
Wherever.
With the power of God,
you bet.
Preaching the gospel,
you
because
bet.
You need to be strong enough to stand alone, because you're never alone. Don't give me that loneliness.
Yeah.
Loneliness has no place. You're never alone. Don't tell me you're lonely. You are never alone.
Amen.
God is with you every second of every day, and all you need to do is develop your relationship where you hear Him, He hears you. You have a close tie with Him 24/7. You have that. I'm never alone. I'm not going to be... People don't understand, you know. I could be alone. You could dump me in the mountain somewhere, and, you know, as long as I'm warm enough, I'm all right. Because I'm never alone. Yes, it might look like I'm talking to myself. I don't care. What is this? Shambach says, you don't have trouble. All you need is faith in God. He's right. All you need is to develop your walk with Him until you are at a place where He is so close to you. Trouble comes and you just go, Lord, and He tells you exactly what to do. Yes, there is such a walk. Yes, there is. My sheep know My voice. That's what He said.
Amen.
There is a prophetic walk in God where you can live with Him. I'm not saying you'll never miss it, but I'd rather walk that walk and take the chance of occasionally making a mistake. By the way, you're not condemned by God even if you make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Than to say, oh, I'm scared of that, and shut it off. Because that's what some people have done. Well, I don't understand that. I'm scared of that. Shut it off. Well, then you are alone. You got a one-way deal. You talk and you hear nothing. What kind of deal is that? No thanks. No thanks. I need to know My God.
You bet.
I need to live with God. I need Him. I discovered a long time ago I'm no good without God. I wouldn't want to go one day on this planet.
Absolutely.
Without my God. Not one. No thanks. Been there, done that. It stank.
Praise God.
But there's a relationship with Him where He will find a way to answer your call. If you don't hear His voice yet, He'll speak to you through scriptures. He'll speak to you through somebody. He'll find a way to speak to your heart where you know in here that there's an inner witness. That's what they call it. It's not always a voice, not always a vision, not always a scripture, but it's an inner witness of, yes, I have a peace,
amen,
a peace that I know God is dealing with me and directing me. God wants people that are set apart unto Him.
Thank you, Lord.
Set apart, meaning almost like picked out of where you are and walking in a new place. Your physical body will continue to do whatever it is you do, every go to work, come home, whatever it is you do, but your spirit man is walking with Him. You can get to a place where you're walking so close with Him, you can be right in the middle of doing something else and feel a hand on your shoulder.
Amen.
And Him say, I have a message for you. God wants to talk to His people. We have angels in our house.
Yes, we do.
I went to sleep the other night, and in my sleep, I was dreaming. I had a dream, but it was the best experience with God I've ever had in my life, ever. And in my dream, I was at some kind of meeting. It was like a house meeting. There were several people around there, and I went to go to bed, and for some reason, it was a bunk bed in the dream. And when I laid on the bed, this angel that I'd seen earlier in our house poured fire right here, poured fire, and it burned, but it was like, I'm telling you, I actually don't think it was a dream. I think it really happened to me, because what happened to me was so powerful. It was like I came unglued. And I had been asking God for the fire, more of, thank you. Still asking for more. It's never enough, you know. That was good. I'll take more. But I know what happens is every time the fire touches you, there's a transformation that goes on in you. And more is released. And when you walk at that level for a while, you become what's called acclimated to that level. You can handle more. Then you ask for more fire, more wind, more Holy Ghost. I don't know how to word it. People who know all that stuff would argue with my semantics. I don't care. All I know is I want more. Call it whatever you want. Lord, you know I want more. I want to have so much of Him that it changes everything.
Amen.
There are people alive on the face of the earth today that when they speak, fire hits people around them. Watched a guy give a testimony the other night, and back in the 90s, another brother was coming to his church, came three times, and he was believing for the fire of God, and he was an intellectual, he was an analytical guy, couldn't get it, three times, couldn't get it, kept saying, God, if this is you, I want it, give it to me, kept saying it over and over and over again. Finally, he saw some things happening to his family and to other people. He said, God, I know this is you, I want it, give it to me. And he said he began to have an experience with God. He said he thought it lasted about 10 seconds, but he was talking to people. He was trying to talk to people, and it turned out, they said later, he was preaching at him in tongues. He went down on the floor. He said he thought it was just a few seconds, but 2 hours later, and this was a place that held 3,500 people, the security guard said, oh, can we lock up now? He was on the floor under the power for so many hours, the security guard had to wait, for, you know, and bless the Lord, the man waited instead of waking the guy up. When this guy went back to his church, he was a pastor. When he went back to his church, he's in the middle of preaching and fire starts hitting people. He didn't know what to do. You know, because he was this, you know, good Bible teacher. And fire is hitting people. He didn't know what to do with that. And then he started saying, okay, tonight we're going to have a Holy Ghost service. And then fire started to hit in the Sunday morning service. And he'd say, but this is Sunday morning. And it was so strong and so powerful. He said the people in the front row said to him, brother, don't these people respect you? Because they were so overtaken by God that it seemed as though they didn't respect the pastor, but in fact they were just getting nailed by the Holy Ghost. Nailed by God.
Amen.
That's a new expression.
Amen.
Nailed by God, I'll take it. When you get touched by that fire, that holy fire, everything changes.
Yes, it does.
Everything. There is no more life as usual.
Praise God.
Some people can't even talk anymore because they're not accustomed to the presence. They start coming all unglued because they're not used to it. It's all right. Nothing wrong with that. You can flail all you want. But sooner or later, you'll get used to that. And then you can talk. You can walk in it. You can share it. You can preach it. And then go more. Again, more. Because go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until you hit that fountain of the great deep.
Praise you.
That rift that splits, that opens up the glory and the revival power of God.
Amen.
That's what it's about. For me, I'm never going to be contented with less than that. I'm jealous of those people that have so pressed into His presence that they're able to deliver without a word, the glory of God to where everybody in the place is smitten, hit by God. There's not that many people like that. And they have paid their dues. You don't lightly get this. This isn't something you asked for one day and didn't get it. You got to go after this. I made a decision in my 20s. I'm 51. In my 20s, I heard somebody talking about the glory of God and what it would do. And one day I was listening to a tape in the car and my face burnt with a sunburn. Got red, burned like a sunburn. You know what a sunburn feels like? It hurts. I was burnt with the fire of God on a cassette tape.
Amen.
And I started to listen real close about the glory. Because what happened is this person had been in the presence of God where the fire burns on the altar.
Praise you.
And when the fire burns on the altar and a person who can come into the Holy of Holies, thank you very much, because of the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, because of Him, we're able to come freely, come boldly.
Amen.
Into the Holy of Holies where the fire burns before God. A fire so holy that in the Old Testament, priests go in there in a wrong heart or with sin on them, they died. But Jesus went ahead of us. Perfect, precious blood. Perfect, precious, holy sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Pure, perfect. The one pure sacrifice that could ever be offered. And He made a way. That's why the veil was torn. That's what it meant when the curtain was torn from top to bottom. It was torn asunder so that anybody could come into the Holy of Holies and know the fire of God. And this person had gone in there and the fire got on him.
Amen.
And when she came back out, if she was preaching like I'm preaching now and came anywhere near you, you could feel the presence of God getting close to you. She'd walk up and down the aisle. The minute she got near you, you knew she'd been with God. She didn't have to explain it. You knew this one has been with God. And she began to talk about what it takes to get there. And I made a decision. That's where I'm going. I don't even know how to get there. I don't know how you go there. But God, if it's the last thing I ever do, that's what I want. She talked about the walk of the Spirit. I said, I don't know much. She said, excuse me, I don't know much, but I know one thing. There's a high road to success, and it's called the walk of the Spirit. I said, God, I don't even know what that is. But if it's the last thing I ever do, I want you to teach me that. Teach me that high road to success. Teach me the walk of the Spirit. I want to know what it is to come into your presence. Not just as an idea. Not just as an imagination, but to truly come to the temple of God. Do you know what it is to hear the angels cry holy? Do you know what it is to hear them cry holy? They never stop. They never stop. And when you hear it, you're flattened before God. Once you hear that, earth has nothing to offer you. Earth has nothing to offer you.
Amen.
And when you step over and see the glory of God and feel His presence and behold that fire, believe me, there's nothing here that you want. And you become set apart, sanctified, consecrated, set apart unto Him, a holy vessel, just like the gold vessels were holy. They were made for one thing only. That's what sanctified means. They were set apart. They weren't to be used for other things. Holy. Vessel is holy. It would be a sin, a crime, a breaking of the law for that vessel to be taken out of the temple and used for anything else because it was made for Him alone.
Amen.
That's what those vessels represent. We have vessels in the body. Many never come past the outer court. But you can go deeper and deeper and deeper. And as you press, as you seek, as you reach out to Him, He knows how to do it. He knows you so intimately. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you need. And He will custom design your path for you. What brought my path a certain way is not what will bring yours. But God knows how to bring you into the very presence, into the very Holy of Holies. And if you come to a place where you're living there and living here, in other words, you're living there and you're living here, your physical body is here, but your spirit man is with the Lord. You're worshiping Him. You're present in that place. There comes a place where He will actually allow you to carry the fire. There have been people in history who've carried the fire, and everywhere they went, masses of people got saved. Sometimes without a word. sometimes without a word, because the presence would grip them and they knew God was real. The presence of God would grab a hold of them. You've heard my story, Maria Woodworth Etter. People came to mock her. They came in to mock, and God froze them in that position, and with jeering looks on their faces, froze them for 6 hours in this position. And while they were frozen, first of all, they looked like the foolish ones because their faces were frozen in that position. But while they were there, they were having an experience with God, and nobody had to tell them to get saved. When they came out of that, they ran as fast as their little legs could carry them to the altar to get saved, because they knew that this was real. This fire was real. They knew it.
Absolutely.
That's the kind of fire God longs for us to carry. You are a vessel of God. But what kind of vessel? In 2 Timothy, it talks about that we can be vessels of honor or vessels of dishonor. But if you read that scripture, it talks about that if a man will purge himself, he becomes a vessel of honor. You're in charge of your vessel. You get to choose your level of sanctification. You get to choose how deep you go. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
I mean, if you read it, basically Paul is saying, it isn't that God said, well, I like you, I don't like you. It says, if a man will purge himself of these things, and it lists some carnal stuff, if he'll go through that process with God to cleanse himself, present yourself continually to God, Lord, change me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, set me free. Lord, change me. I'm coming to the throne of grace. Your vessel can be changed and changed and changed and changed until you are a vessel fit for the King. Fit for the King. Earlier you heard me sing a word about Esther coming before the King and the Lord extending His scepter. It's like that. This vessel that you are is being changed into a vessel that is fit for the King's use, fit for the Master's use, a vessel of honor to carry something of the King. Interestingly, there were different kinds of vessels for different kinds of things, as we are. We won't all carry the same kinds of things, but I pray that we will all come into the holiest place without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That will come to the place where we truly are holy before God in His sight, that we've laid aside other things and by the grace of the Lord been changed into His image. For it isn't even us that does that right. We can't even do that right. But if we seek Him, He will do it. As we press in, as we ask Him to lead you. Tonight is not really, I believe God is not saying He expects this instant change. But some of you will set your course. Some of you will set your course and say, this is the road that I'm on. Even if you don't fully know your purpose, you can know that as you set your course to go down this path of God, that along the way, your calling will be made clear. Whatever it is. Your individual uniqueness and call and purpose in God will manifest and become clear along the way. Who you are will begin to come forth. Who you really are. As this junk starts to fall off. As you press on this path, things will fall off of you. You'll get infillings from God. More stuff will fall off. You'll get more infillings. You're being changed from glory to glory into His image. That's the path. So that as you go along, you're being changed to move into His presence. And along the way, yes, you will find your calling, your ministry, your purpose. But a lot of times He will not allow you to move in the fullness of your ministry until you've come far enough down the path. Because you might be damaged or damage someone else. Come into the Holy of Holies. Come into the Holy of Holies. That was His command. come into the Holy of Holies. Make your way. I'm gonna say this. I believe that there's some decisions being made tonight. If you want to come to a deeper level of consecration with God and to finding this course, finding your way to His holy place and to that place of laying your head on His breast, that intimacy that John had, that place where you experience Him and know Him, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to have people pray with me. If you want to pray this with me, I'm going to do a prayer. You can repeat after me. I'm going to have you repeat this. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
You see me as I am.
You see me as I am.
You know my life.
You know my life.
I pray that you will take me into your presence.
I pray that you will take me into your presence.
That you will lead me in the way everlasting.
That you will lead me in the way everlasting.
That you will show me the high road to success.
That you will show me the high road to success.
No matter what's going on in the natural.
No matter what's going on in the natural.
Teach me how to press in.
Teach me how to press in.
Teach me how to be changed.
Teach me how to be changed.
Into the image of Jesus.
Into the image of Jesus.
How to be delivered and set free.
How to be delivered and set free.
How to receive the infillings that you would have me receive.
The infilling that you would have me receive.
And how to come into the Holy of Holies.
Come into the Holy of Holies.
And live there. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay.